Please turn with me now to Romans chapter 8. Going to be reading from the verses 24 through verse 30. And we will be giving our particular attention this morning to verse 28. The Word of God as we find it in Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For we were saved in this hope. But a hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word. I trust that you are familiar with the phrase multitasking. Basically, it is a phrase that is used to refer to doing more than one thing or being focused in on more than one thing at a time. There are those who can only focus on one thing at a time and only it. They are singly focused. There are others who are able to focus their attention and be involved in more than one thing at a time. And then there are those who try to do that and probably shouldn't because they're not really able to and they don't do anything well. Now, if I suggested to you that God has one single focus in all that he does, it's not because he is only able to be singly focused. He can't multitask. God can multitask ad infinitum. There is absolutely nothing, in fact, including as we talked about the last time we looked at the Heidelberg Catechism, and that is including the hairs falling from our head, that God is not involved in. And yet, there is a single focus in God's overall purpose in all the things that he is involved in, all the things in your life. That focus has to do with God revealing, making known himself, his glory. The stars in the heavens declare the glory of God. Ultimately, that glory has to do with making known that glory, has to do with God's creation. He made this creation so his glory could be manifested, and he made man in his image to be the reflection of God himself. Of course, man in his rebellion and sin broke that relationship by which God's glory is manifested in us. And yet God in eternity was the focus of his glory, determined to restore, to recreate unto himself a people. And thus the single focus of God, the single focus of God is the salvation of his elect. And in that, God is made known in all his glory. It's not that God is not complete without that. It's not that God needs man. It is not that God could not make his own glory known without salvation. Yet God has clearly revealed that in the eternal mind of God from before the foundation of the world, God purposed to save unto himself a people. In that salvation, his name might be glorified. So we might say that God is indeed singly focused. That does not mean he doesn't bother with anything else. In fact, the very opposite is true. All things God is fully engaged in. He is absolutely sovereign, involved in every detail in not only your life, but in the entire creation. That's beyond our comprehension. We realize that. But with one purpose is the salvation of his people. Now, once again, I am with you asking to look at me at, as we are continuing to work our way through Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer number one. And so as we confess, as we looked at this portion of it last month, that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. And then note, based on that truth, not a hair can fall from my head without his will, we go on to confess these words. Indeed, that all things must work together for my salvation. Just think about that statement. It's a fantastic statement. Indeed, that all things must work together for my salvation. You might say, but Pastor, surely you don't literally mean all things. Yes, we do. But then just think, what is involved in all things? Would you say that there are bad things which happen in this life? And certainly there are. We can list them. Much less in this world, which in fact have nothing to do without salvation? No, there aren't. Literally, no, there aren't. We take seriously the sovereignty of God and his supervision of all things. Yes, that is a lot to think about. That is beyond our comprehension. And no, you will not find in Scripture exactly how this past week, that person who cut you off in traffic and frustrated you, what that had to do with your salvation. Or how the inconvenience of having a sore throat or a runny nose or a cough or whatever. I can go on and on. How all of that ties in with salvation. But what you will see is how your salvation fits in with God's purpose. You know, when the Gospel of John, in John 1, introduces Christ and tells us of his purpose for coming in the beginning of Christ in the first 7 verses of John 1, and I'm just going to quote from the 7th verse here, saying that John has come to introduce us to the light that is Christ, to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. That's the purpose of God. To make known the source of life, Christ, and unto that end, the Word, who is Christ at the beginning, Christ is sent that you may believe and have life. We also read in Hebrews 1, the revelation of God by Christ in terms of the full work of salvation. God's purpose, as I've said, is to make himself known. He does so through the plan of salvation. You know, I really can't. I know I've said it again and again, and it might begin to sound redundant, but please, I cannot stress enough what the Heidelberg Catechism is all about as a confession of faith and as a creed of the church based on the Word of God is not what you and I must do, but what God has already done. There is your comfort. This is not about what I must do for my salvation. It is about what God has and is doing. Let's be clear. God is about God. Your salvation is about God. Think of the picture when Isaiah the prophet found himself in Isaiah chapter 6 before the throne of God. And there by the throne of God there were seraphim, a type of angel, flying back and forth, and whose sole purpose was simply to say and to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. The whole earth is full of his glory." That holiness, that glory of God is expressed then when one of those seraphims are instructed to take a hot coal and put it to Isaiah's lips that he might be cleansed. When Paul in Romans 8:28 then speaks of those who are called according to his purpose, it has to do with who God is, which is reflected in his purpose. And God's purpose is simply this, that in the calling, that is the salvation of his people, his glory be made known. Please do not fall into the false notion, all too prevalent in American Christianity, that the Bible is about you. That is to say, because of the terrible situation that man finds himself in such trouble that because of sin and the righteousness and justice of God, he's going to suffer eternal punishment, and the Bible has an answer for you. Yes, but the focus is no longer about God, but about the pity for hopeless man. That's a false understanding of Scripture. And so in the New Testament, then, it is understood that there is this emphasis upon a loving Savior who just wants you to come to him. No, the Bible is about the continuous and continues to be about the God of creation, whose focus is in eternity, is the salvation, yes, of his people, by which his glory is made known. You know, it's important, it seems to me, to ask this question. Why should God bother? I don't want to seem crass here, but why should God bother? God is the one who holds this universe in the palm of his hand. He spoke and there was light. He can and does bring the most powerful to their knees. He could wipe out the creation as quickly as he brought it in and create again. But here's the thing. To say that God's focus is on saving man is not to move the focus away from God now to man, but it is to zero in on who God really is. That he is a God who saves his people, who makes himself known. Understand that man is created in the image of God, is to recognize that man is the reflection of God. He is not God, but we are God's image bearers. God does bother, if I can use that term, because by salvation, his glory is manifested. Understand then, with the focus on your salvation, the glory of God is truly revealed. So yes, God's focus is on your salvation. That's the good news. That is the comfort which you and I have. Yes, it is a focus by which the glory of God is being revealed. The statement here that we're looking at this morning in Romans 8:28 brings out the purpose of God, called according to his purpose. The all things in your life, in this creation, all things again, are what he is talking about here. The purpose of God. The question is, How does the salvation of man show the glory of God? Again, be aware that God made man in his image. That is, to rightly know God. Talk about it a bit more completely now. To know God, to love God, and to serve God. You see, when the work of God, that which he is singly focused upon, is beginning to take effect in you, what God is doing and working in you, in your life, that you begin to once again know God, love God, and serve God. You see, one of the great traps, if you will, that we easily fall into when we begin to talk about the focus is upon God and about what God is going to do, and they say, well, this is all about God. He takes care of everything. He's going to deal with every little detail thing in my life. I can just now sit back and relax and see what God is going to do. If that's your conclusion, then you have no idea about what your salvation is truly all about. It means to know God. Have you studied and come to know everything about God? Paul prays. It's the most interesting statement. Look it up in Ephesians, the first chapter, about verse 18. I won't read it now. But Paul is there praying that you, the people of God, would grow in your knowledge, that you would come to know the breadth and the greatness of God. It means that your love for God becomes richer and fuller all the time. Could you express your love for God in a greater way in your life than you currently do? It means that your purpose in life is to serve God. Are you serving and doing all that you could be doing in terms of your life and the things of your life in service unto God? You see, to really embrace the statement that all things must work together for my salvation means that all these things, in all these things, God is being praised. That's right. Just think about all things in your life. Think about all things in your life, just you in this past week. And how many of them, and the way you dealt with them, was God being praised? The question is, that means that in you, created in his image, now recreated in his image by the work of God, that glory is not just that God can save a wretched sinner, that even us rotten people can go to heaven someday. That's great in itself. But it means that he can and he does restore you to love God. See, what the essence of this statement is all about, its expanded statement in the Heidelberg Catechism, all things work together for my salvation, is somewhat expanded upon by what Paul says in Romans 8:28, where he says that we know that all things work together for good. Certainly good means salvation. There's nothing outside of salvation that is good. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Let's not all of a sudden go from what God must do to now talk about what you must do, because it says here that those who love God, because you love God, things will be good. And so when they appear not to be good, well, maybe you haven't loved God enough. It's not that all of a sudden we're back to what I must do. That is not how we interpret this passage. This is still the single focus of God. It raises a very simple question. Where does the love of God, which you have for God, where does that come from? Can anyone love God? How is your love for God more intense today than it was last year? This is not, it can never be about God responding to what you have done. We are still talking about the single focus of God here, and that single focus of God is to work his love within you. Simply what salvation is, that you love God. When God works salvation in you, then you have the love of God within you. And that love of God is evident in your life. What are the struggles in your life? How does the politics of the day affect you? How much have you struggled or enjoyed concerning the economics in our world? And yes, how has the pandemic affected you? See, when we confess that all things are for my salvation, or even as Paul puts it, that all things are for good, does not mean that God is just simply going to take everything that happens in your life, and if you love him enough, God will turn it around and make it a positive for you. Not at all. These things are real. There are many things every day in your life that are real, and they are a struggle. But it does mean that these things will not derail God's purpose for you. Which in itself is pretty great, that nothing can keep us from God. Nothing will take God's eyes out of his focus. But more than that, when we think about how we respond, we need to ask this. Are you going to keep your eyes on what you know is God's focus as you're dealing with the all things in your life? Are you going to keep your eyes on what you know God's focus is? Are you going to let things turn you away from what you know is God's focus, your salvation, your love for God and the things of God? Or are all of these things going to work on your salvation, growing in trust, growing in faith, and growing in service unto God? You see, the confession of all things working together for my salvation has to do with your life in everything about your life. In Ephesians, Paul says this about all things. He says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is not just me no matter what. We just must always grin and bear it and say thank you to God, no matter what and how terrible it is, no. Rather, to really understand all things are indeed for my salvation. I want you to understand that I am not in any way whatsoever making light of anything which anyone is dealing with. Not at all. What I do want to encourage you about this morning, what we should always keep in mind when we are dealing with life, is that all things in your life will have one of two different possible effects. No matter what it is, everything in your life will have one of two possible effects in your life. It will either drive you away from God, or in expressed in allowing the things to get between you and God, or it will strengthen you in your faith, expressed in your greater and even bolder exercise of your life of faith. I am convinced that God has brought a real test. God is always testing his church. It's part of who he is. That's part of the all of the things throughout the history of the church. God is always testing personally in the church of Jesus Christ. But I am convinced that God has brought upon Christianity a real test. And yes, ultimately, because of the single focus of God, the church will be strengthened. But where will you be in that. Yes, the question you need to ask yourself is that the love of God truly alive in your life? I trust that it is. And I trust that it will be seen in the church of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our God and Father, what a comfort it is to know that even as we find ourselves often frustrated and struggling and under attack and wondering what's going on in our lives and not always dealing with things very well, we rejoice to be reminded once again that all things are for our salvation. We know that the focus of God in eternity will be accomplished in Christ his Son, your Son, O Lord. And we pray, O God, that that might be real in our lives, that your Spirit might be a work, that we as individuals and we as a church might grow in faith in the midst of this test, and that we might evermore bring praise and honor to your name, that you might be known through all these things in our salvation. We ask now, O Lord, that even as we ask these things, we lift them up before you in the prayer which our Lord himself taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.